Go ahead and be opening up to Mark chapter 9. What I kept hearing today as I was praying and listening about tonight's service, Mark 9:23 has kind of been, again, this is the jumping off verse here lately, where Jesus said to that father that brought the lunatic boy. And, the disciples had prayed and done everything they knew to do, and they couldn't get him free. Father of the boy, he turns to Jesus. He says, if you can do anything, please help us. Well, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now notice, to him that believeth. The power is never, I'll say it this way, the problem is never on God's side of the equation. If thou canst do anything. Trust me, he can do everything. I'll go beyond that. He wants to do everything. The problem is not on the God side of this equation. The real question, and what I kept hearing today was...
It's something Sue asked me years ago when we were in a crisis. She said, Gary, what can you believe? And I was in my early 40s.
I had a mole that had started to turn color and get a little large on my chest, on my left side here, and got about the size of a quarter and was starting to turn all angry reddish brown. And Sue saw it one day. She says, she didn't give me the option. You are going to get that checked out. Yes, ma'am. But I really, to be honest with you, I felt fine. I was young. Didn't look like I do now. Full of vinegar, let's say that. I expected him to just say, oh, it's nothing. It's just, just a mole. I was not expecting. Neither of us was expecting what that doctor said. They ran the biopsy and he came down and you could tell, like when I saw him walking, I could tell by the look on his face, this was not good news coming. And what he said, now, I remember early 40s. It's before we ever came to the prayer center. He said, this is melanoma cancer. It's the most deadly, fastest spreading kind. We're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston and do everything that we can for you. But young man, my advice is that you get your affairs in order. I don't think you have 6 months. Hear that silence? That's about the way it was in the car. We were stunned. We couldn't even say anything. Visions of my children and my wife. Who's going to provide for my wife? All of these things. Immediately the devil starts putting you in the grave in pictures, right? And I'm just, was not prepared. Was not at all thinking that was what we were going to hear. Now, plus, I have to tell you this part. We were at a real low in our walk with the Lord. We had been saved quite a while, but we had been wandering in the wilderness for about 5 years, if I could say it that way. We had, in our mind, we'd got really hurt at a church, and we didn't trust preachers anymore, and we had tried different churches, and there's a lot of good churches in Tulsa. There's a lot of good churches, and we had tried this one and tried that one and tried this one and tried that one. And they were all okay, but just not any of them felt like home, you know. And, theologically and intellectually, I could have told you all things are possible and God is able to heal anything. Intellectually, I could have quoted you all that, but thank God for Sue. She asked me the very best question that she could have asked me. Finally, about halfway home, she said, what can you believe? And that was a really good question. Because it's not what you think in your head. Faith is not of the head, my brothers and sisters. Faith is of the heart. And even though intellectually I knew that, well, I can just be healed and don't even have to do the surgery, and God's able to do everything. I knew intellectually that's all true. But when she asked me that question, I did an inventory of my heart. And I had to answer honestly, and thank God I did. Because I said, I can believe two things. Number one, I can believe that the report we just heard from that doctor, that the end result does not have to be that bad. And number two, that somehow they're going to get every cell of that cancer out of my body. She reached her hand over, just, I agree with you in Jesus' name. That's exactly how it'll be. So remember those two things. The diagnosis does not have to be that bad. And number two, whatever happens, they're going to get every cell of that cancer out of my body. Well, the doctor who did the diagnosis is not the one who's going to do the surgery. So we had to go see that doctor, and they had to run their own tests and everything. This was a couple of weeks later by the time we get the results back. Well, we come in, we're sitting there waiting on the results from this one, you know. And he's walking in, and his whole countenance is different. And he says, here's what we heard. He says, well, he says, now, listen, he says, the first thing he said, I don't want to get your hopes up. I'm thinking, you don't know what the other guy said. Please, I need my hopes up. But he says, I don't want to get your hopes up, but this might just be what we call a surface spreading melanoma. I said, what is that? He said, well, it spreads faster on the surface of the skin than it does in the bloodstream. He said, it may not have really penetrated. This may not be in your bloodstream. And if that's the case, with surgery, his own words, he said, we might be able to get every cell of that cancer out of your body. It was exactly the two things we'd prayed. Number one, the diagnosis would be better. Okay, surface spreading sounds a lot better than the worst, most deadly kind. Number two, he's repeating back the very thing we agreed on, almost using the same words. We might be able to get every cell of that cancer out of your body. Well, the first doctor gave me 6 months. I was in my early 40s. Can you tell I'm not in my early 40s now? That's been a long 6 months. And it happened exactly the way. Let me say it this way. All things are possible with God. But God met us where we could believe. Let's fast forward. 10 years maybe, we're at the prayer center now. And I had developed a heart condition. It's the reason I had to quit driving the trucks. It has a 16-cylinder name. It's called supraventricular tachycardia. How about that one? Supposedly, it's genetic and incurable. And it can be regulated with medication. As long as you take the medication, you're okay. But the trouble with that medication is that it accelerates the onslaught of arthritis. Well, by now, I'm in my 50s. The last thing I need is anything accelerating the onslaught of arthritis, okay? And a guy came through here at the prayer center, I think it was a Wednesday night, nice fella, you know, but he was giving his testimony. Now, he got in a line and somebody prayed for him, and bless God, if I'm healed, I'm going to throw away my medicine. He went home and flushed his medicine down the toilet. And he was giving his testimony how he was healed. I heard that. Well, I was taking this medicine 4 times a day. I'm thinking, well, if I believe I'm healed, I need to flush my medicine down the toilet. So I did that. Now I'm operating out beyond where I believe. I'm basing my faith on another man's faith. I'm telling you right now, you need to develop your own relationship with the Lord. It's really hard to live on another man's faith, okay? But I did it. I flushed it down the toilet, quit taking that medicine. Bless God, I'm healed. 7 days later, I nearly died. Those same symptoms come on me again. I come close. What do you do in a case like that? You do your best to see Pastor Dave. Why, Pastor Dave? That guy gave his testimony. All I did was the same thing that guy did, and he's healed, and I nearly died. Why, Pastor Dave? Nobody ever has questions like that. Why? And I never forget what he told me. He said, Gary, God is not obligated to manifest your healing because you flushed your medicine down the toilet. God is obligated to manifest your healing when you believe his word. Whoa. See, what do you really believe? See. So I had to go get my, he recommended that I get my prescription refilled, that I begin taking it exactly as the doctors instructed. But he says, now, you might consider this. Every time you take that medicine, you need to start quoting to get you out some scriptures on healing and start taking God's medicine along with that natural medicine and call yourself healed. And I had had a lot of training along that line. So I began to do that. Now, how many of you know I wanted to be able to get my healing in full manifestation and be done with that in about a week? Or 2 days would be better. But I began to do it. And we're attending the prayer center. We're learning all the time. We're spending a lot of time in prayer, learning to hear the voice of God anyway. So I just began to do it. So 4 times a day, I had to take this medicine. But every time I would take it now, I had 3 verses especially that I liked. And I had them on a 3x5 card, but then pretty quick you memorize them. And I would say them every time. Then every now and then I would talk to my heart. Because I remember Jesus said, you got to speak to the mountain. And I heard his teach some really good messages about speaking to the mountain. God told him one time, he says, I told my people to speak to the mountain. They keep asking me to speak to the mountain. But I told them to speak to the mountain. So I would talk to the mountain. I'd talk to my heart. I'd just call it healed. I said, I command you, you be healed and whole in Jesus' name. Then I would quote those scriptures like one of my favorites is, I will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains and so forth. The same way you would. Everyone say 6 months. See, most people burn out after a week if they don't see their manifestation. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, it ain't bragging if it's so, but my daddy, one thing he put in me was perseverance. And you don't quit after a week, you know. So I did it for a week. Now, 4 times a day, confessing those 4 times a day. I don't know how often I'd speak to my heart, but I would once in a while. And by the way, now that there's no point going to the doctors. The doctors already told me there is no natural cure for this. Once you have this, you have it for life. There is no cure, unless you get a heart transplant, which, anyway. But I was doing it anyway. What's that report got to do with God's report? See, the thing of it is, the real message tonight is not exactly what it is, what can you believe? But really what he's after is, how do you increase what you believe? See, we're going to look at some real good examples. Just because it's good to know where you really are. Don't try and live on another man's faith. It's good to know where you are. God will meet you right where you are. If the medicine is keeping you alive, if that's where your faith is, God will meet you right there. That doesn't mean you need to quit studying his word. You can learn and grow, okay? Well, anyway, so I did that, taking the medicine. I wanted it to be over in a week. Everyone say 6 months. 6 months later, because we were also doing the things that Dave was teaching us here about praying and listening and learning how to hear the voice of God. 6 months later, I heard him just as clear as you're hearing me right now. And he said, begin to skip every 4th dose of that medicine now. Huh. Okay. So I skipped every 4th medicine, every 4th dose. So now I'm taking it 3 times a day instead of 4 times a day. 6 months later, 6 more months go by. 6 months. I'm not, now don't start getting legalistic about 6 months. I'm just giving my report. But roughly 6 months, I don't know if it's to the day, but roughly 6 months go by and I heard him again. This time he said, now skip that 2nd dose. So I'm taking the 1st and the 3rd now. You got that? 6 more months went by. He had me skip now I'm just taking 1. And at the end of that 6 months, my prescription came to an end and I was going to get it refilled. Now remember, I've been confessing those scriptures that whole time. I've been speaking it, and I've been talking to my heart. I've been commanding my heart. But 6 months times 4 is how many years? Say 2 years. 2 years, I was going to go get the prescription refilled again, and I heard him just as clear as you're hearing me. He said, you don't need to fill that prescription, and you never will. You're healed. Now, that was in May of 1998. May of 1998. And I've never had, well, I won't take that back. I used to say all the time, I've never had another symptom. Twice that devil came back around and tried to put those symptoms back on me. But I since learned I don't have to let him. I rebuked him and he ran like a scalded dog. Now it's been, I don't even know how many years now it's been. Okay? Your faith can grow. God will meet you right where you are. We're going to see that real clear here tonight. God will meet you right where you are. But that doesn't mean you need to stay where you are. I don't have to stay where I am. See, because what we're believing for is a revival that man cannot produce. Man can't make the blind see, and the lame walk, and the deaf. We can help with hearing aids and canes, and that. Thank God. I don't think God's against any of that. But listen, God has a better plan for the blind than seeing eye dogs. God's got a better plan for the deaf than hearing aids. Amen? He's got a better plan for the lame than wheelchairs. But we can't produce that ourselves. Our faith has got to go beyond this natural realm where this our supernatural Father truly can manifest that verse. All things are possible to him that believeth. Well, we're going to change our believing. We're going to do it on purpose. And we're going to have that revival. Amen? Amen? So let me look at, I want you to look at two verses. Now, you should be already at Mark 9:23. Let's look at that one. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, in that case, it was concerning a very difficult physical healing. And this one was caused by a devil. Not all sickness is caused by a devil, but that one was. Because Jesus rebuked it and it left. All right? Now, go to Matthew 21. Let's look at another verse. And we're going to look at verse 22. Now, what's going on here? This is where Jesus rebuked or cursed the fig tree. No man eat fruit of thee again forever, you know. At that moment that he said that, nothing changed. I mean, the tree still looked green and looked like nothing happened. But within 24 hours, as they walked by there again, that thing had dried up. I like how it's worded. It didn't just dry up. It dried up from the roots. Now, if you kill something at the root, you killed it. Okay? And they were all astonished. Now, this is a place where a man, remember, Jesus didn't do anything as God. He laid down that divinity. Now, he is God, don't get me wrong, but he didn't do anything as God. He is the prototype of us, a spirit-born person anointed by the Holy Ghost. He spoke to a tree, and the tree obeyed. Let's say it another way. He spoke to the tree, and the Holy Spirit manifested those words. Is that not revival for us? What if we speak to cancer? What if we speak to blindness? Now, here he words it this way, Mark 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, now notice, believing you shall receive. And I got to be honest with you. Now, I've been taught pretty well when it comes to these things. And there's been times in my life where I was pretty strong and I'd pray and my faith is strong and I'm believing and we would see all kinds of good things happen. There's other times, if you're not careful, you can slide back a little bit. I want to say that instead of backslide. And if you're not careful, you'll slide back into natural thinking. How do you know if your prayer was answered? I'll know it when I see it. There is no faith in that at all. That is natural human thinking. There's no faith in it. No, he says, what things soever you ask in prayer, believing. Believing when you see it? And Mark's account says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Natural human thinking wants to reverse that. When you pray, once you see it, then you'll believe it. That's not the way it works. Okay. Now these two verses, I've got them side by side on my page. I'm going to quote them side by side. Even though in the English, One of them says believeth, and in the next one it says believing. They're the same Greek word. So Mark 9:23, when he says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then Matthew 21:22, when he says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It's the same Greek word. It's Strong's number G4100. According to this, you pronounce it pistuo. No, pistuo. Pistuo. P-I-S-T-E-U-O. Let me do that again in case somebody's writing it down. P-I-S-T-E-U-O. Same Greek word in both of those verses. And the first meaning is, which is what you think, to have faith in. So what is believing? It's to have faith in. Okay? To believe, to commit, to trust, to put in trust with. But it's interesting, that word there, which primarily means to have faith in, there's a note here that says, well, it's from a different word, G4102. So I looked that one up. G4102 is spelled P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And it means persuasion. Does that remind you of a verse? And Abraham was fully persuaded. That's interesting. And so believing comes from a Greek, from a root word. No, excuse me. Believing comes from a word that means persuasion. But what's interesting there, that word comes from another word. And now we're to the root. And the root of those words is this one, G3982. You spell it P-E-I-T-H-O, pitho. And it's a primary verb. You know what it means? For a love offering of 99. I'm sorry. To convince. Do you know what God has done? He has given us His Word to convince us of what He wants to do. This is given to convince us so that we can be like Abraham and become fully persuaded. So that against hope we can believe in hope. That the promises of God may be manifest in our lives. Is that good stuff or what? He has given us His Word. We don't realize what a supernatural thing this book is. These thoughts did not originate on this planet. God was able through all of those authors and all of those books to bring His thoughts, this thought of this infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God who lives outside of time, and get His thoughts in English words that we can understand. What a miracle. And the purpose? To convince us to the point that we become persuaded, where we trust in, cling to, and rely upon Him. I like this. I like this. And the thing of it is, your faith can grow. I was thinking about one of the, I'm not going to turn to this one, be turning to Romans 4. We're going to look at this real quick. Romans 4. I was thinking today, though, about the guys in Acts. When Paul came across these believers at Ephesus, and he asked them, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And their answer was, we've not even so much as heard there be any Holy Ghost. Now see, and I love that because he didn't leave them in the dark. He went ahead and used their statement to locate. He located where they are. He said, well, what were you baptized unto? And all they knew was John's baptism. Well, what did John say? Repent. There's one coming whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to untie. But there's one coming. He says, I baptize you in water, but He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Well, all they knew, apparently they got baptized by John before Jesus ever showed up. So they didn't know. And they sure didn't know about the Holy Ghost. Well, the Lord meets them through Paul right where they are. He preaches the gospel to them, gets them to understand before it's over. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. But see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They don't know there's any Holy Ghost. See, before somebody, many of us, we heard the gospel when we were so young, we don't remember that there was ever a time that we never knew it. But see, most of the world doesn't even know the name of Jesus. They don't know that there's a Savior. They don't even know they're lost. They don't know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? See? So faith comes by hearing what God says. And then you have to be convinced. Then you have to be persuaded. Then when you become fully persuaded, you act on it. And then you have what he says. Amen? All right. Romans chapter 4. We'll look at Abraham here. Starting in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Oh, now this verse. Who against hope believed in hope. What in the world? Who against hope believed in hope. We're going to illustrate it more fully here in a moment, but in a nutshell, there was no natural hope. The Bible plainly tells us at this point when God says this to him, Abraham was 99 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. We're plainly told she wasn't even ovulating anymore. There was no egg to even fertilize. We know Abraham was not such a hot rod because when the Lord told her they was going to have a baby, she laughed. Shall I have pleasure from my husband again? That tells us volumes about Abraham. Okay. Well, be careful in church, you know. There was no natural hope. And if he'd have went to the doctors, they said there's no hope. If he'd have went to university, in the history of the world, has any woman ever had a child after she stopped ovulating? Now, nowadays we have in vitro and stuff, but then, no. So you could have gone to the best scholars, you could have gone to church, you could have gone to anybody. It's impossible, impossible, impossible. He had to stand against that hope. Stand against that. When there's no natural hope, it's why it says who against hope, natural hope. He believed in hope. Where did he get that hope? He got that from the God of hope. God had given him that hope. We're going to look at it specifically here. Now this verse, I want you to we've got to read a little farther here. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. And what he means is when it comes to producing children. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here's our verse. And being fully persuaded. Remember one of those definitions a while ago? First is convince, then is persuasion. Then finally it's called believing. Amen? But he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Isn't that a great verse? But now go back to Genesis 17. I want you to see something. Abraham didn't start off fully persuaded. He didn't start off that way. Genesis 17. I hear actual pages turning. Like Tim says, there's actual pages. I hear them. And I also hear fingers on the glass. I do both. When I'm not preaching, I bring both. Hey. Okay. Genesis 17, look at verse 17. Well, see, I should have went back there myself. I just have that one verse. Genesis 17. All right. Start in verse 15. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Isn't that a great promise? But look at verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And said in his heart, now not out loud. He said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Now I'm going to take it to the extreme just a little bit, okay? This is Gary, not the Bible. Oh, you're so funny, God. You're teasing me. I didn't know that you could make such jokes, Lord. You come to tease me today. You're so funny, God. I'm 99. My wife's 90. Have you seen us? You're telling us we're going to have a baby. You're so funny, God. Now, he didn't do it out loud. He laughed. Can you tell he's not fully persuaded? He didn't start off fully persuaded. Now, did he? Well, stay there in Genesis, but I'll just read you. It's too far over. I'll read you Hebrews 11:11. Boy, the Bible brags on Sarah, too. It wasn't just Abraham's faith. Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith also, Sarah herself, I like that, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isn't that great? She didn't start off that way either. She didn't start off that way. Go over to Genesis 18 now. Look at this. Starting in verse 22. I'm doing this right. Genesis 18. I'm sorry. Starting in verse 12. And let's back up a little. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the way of women. Therefore, because of that natural fact, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Now notice, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? Now here it is from the Lord's point of view. Is anything too hard for the Lord? See, what we think is impossible, he goes, what's wrong with you? Don't you know who I am? I fling worlds from my fingertips. I create planets out of nothing. I speak the universe. I create with my words. What's wrong with you? Well, but you don't understand. I quit ovulating. Who is it that made your body in the first place? Is anything too hard for the Lord? But see, we just tend to think natural. Yeah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Now notice, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. I laugh not. For she was afraid. And he said, no, you laughed. Now, I want you to notice the generosity and the kindness of the Lord. Do you notice he doesn't say, well, you laughed, that's it for you, kick, next. That's it for you, you had trouble believing, that's it. Is that what he did? No, he reinforced what he'd already said. Sarah shall have a son. No matter what she said, no matter that she laughed, God doesn't change. Sarah shall have a son. So I've been meditating on this for many years, and I think, okay, it's obvious that here at this point, neither one of them were fully persuaded. They were like everybody else. They hear a natural report, and they go, what? No, this is impossible. He must be joking with us. I'm not going to say it on the outside, but on the inside. The Lord, he make joke with me. But the Lord isn't messing around at all, see? He didn't write them off. He's not going to write you off either. You get that? He's not going to write you. He didn't write me off that day because I had trouble believing. He met me where I was. He met me where I was. Now, I don't want to lose my place there. Hang on. So I'm going to read this. Did you notice that the Lord is not easily offended and provoked because they both started off with natural thinking? He doesn't write you off either. What had to happen? See, Abraham had to go back to the blueprint. God, many years before, had given Abraham a blueprint. Now, what do I mean by blueprint? Most of you here know what I mean by that. Tim, I think, coined the word blueprint. But that's the words that God has spoken to you individually. It is what salvation is for all. Healing is for all. So many blessings that we can all appropriate. But then we're individuals. We're all members of the body, but members in particular. I don't have the same calling as Joe. Joe doesn't have the same calling as me. I don't live in Ireland. He's not calling me to do stuff in Ireland. And he'll speak individually to you, see? Well, he had already spoken individually to Abraham. So let's back up now, to go back to Genesis 15. I'm after starting in verse 4, but let's pick it up in verse 1. Genesis 15, 1. Now, this is a long time. This is, I ran out of time to find out how old he was right here. I've done it before, but I just didn't have time today. But I'll tell you this, the next chapter, in between these two chapters, if I'm not mistaken, Abraham and the Egyptian maid Hagar, they produce a child. So the point is, here at the time when God gives this blueprint to Abraham, he's still virile. He is able to produce. Okay, he is still of childbearing age. Now that's important. It's going to be really important here in a minute. All right, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, I've meditated this, and I've shared it with you before. During those years that I drove the trucks, and many times because of the schedule, you drive all night long. And more than once, I've been out in Arizona, you know, away from the city lights, out in the desert somewhere. And boy, I mean, at times on some of those perfectly clear nights where there's not a big moon, I mean, you can see more stars. And I thought about the Lord taking Abraham out at night in the desert. Had to be similar to that. So you go outside here in Tulsa and you think you can see stars. You can't see stars. You can see a few, but we've got so much light around here, you can't really see. You get out there in the desert, And on a, I mean, it looks like diamonds on black velvet. You almost feel like you could reach up and grab a handful of them. And you never saw stars, and I'm sure it was like that. And God's going, okay, count those. What? Yeah, count those. I could spend the rest of my life, and I could never count all these stars. He said, well, that's okay. What I want you to know is you're thinking you don't have any child. But I'm telling you, your seed is going to number like that. Is that a blueprint or not? Is that a vision? That's called hope. That's a vision. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right there is where Abraham received his blueprint. And I'm sure, and it says he believed it. He did believe it. But now the thing I didn't understand till recently, you got to remember though, at this moment, Abraham himself is still able to help God. That hadn't sunk in with you yet. He's going, he would never phrase it like that. He's going, oh yeah, okay, I believe you. I'm the guy. You found the right one. I can do this. Yep. Mr. Abraham, that's me. What I'm saying is he's still virile. He's still got his youth enough to where he knows he can do this. Yeah, I believe you, God. See, and when the natural circumstances lines up with the blueprint, it's easy to believe God. Yes, Angie, I'm going to tell it again. I'm not looking there, but she knows what I'm going to say. It is the best illustration in my life of this. There was a time when her husband worked at another job that was coming to an end. And he was going to night school and doing things to get a better job. And he'd actually been hired at this better job. And they knew that there was going to be a 4, 5, 6 week gap in between the old paycheck and the new paycheck. So they did what they should have done. They saved and gathered up some money so that they would have enough money to make it during that gap. How many of y'all have ever run out of money before you run out of the month, you know? Well, I don't know. They made it most of the way, but, you know, didn't quite make it. And the sentence and the reason is so pure, because I just laugh, and I still to this day, because this is all of us. She said, Daddy, we were strong in faith while the money was there. Abraham was strong in faith while he could still produce children. While his natural circumstances lined up with the blueprint. You betcha. You got the right guy. I think he's starting to think like Solomon. How many wives and how many concubines am I going to have? I don't know. That's stretching it, okay? What I'm saying, though, you got to understand when he, at this moment, believed God, at that moment, his natural circumstances, his ability, lined up with the promise. Now, you fast forward, and they had Hagar, you know, he got with Hagar, they had Ishmael. I know they wish to this day they'd never done that. But then it waits until, you know, now there's 99. And now Sarah's not even ovulating anymore. They never had any kids together even when she was ovulating. So now the last little whisper of hope, when she quits ovulating, now the last little whisper of natural hope is gone. Now God comes. Like, almost feel like, where were you? Where were you when I was in my prime? Where were you, you know? Now God comes when it's absolutely impossible. And he says, oh, now you're going to have that baby. And you notice he's not so fully persuaded anymore. He's going, have you looked at my body? Have you seen my wife's body? You're going to do what? And he laughed, and so did Sarah. But God would not change. We read it there a while ago. The last thing God said about it, Sarah shall have a son. What is Abraham to do now? Because he's obviously in a state of unbelief. He believed it when God told it to him, but then he was still, his natural abilities lined up with the promise. Pretty easy to believe it. But now there is no way on planet Earth in the natural this can happen as far as any natural ability is concerned. What do you do in a case like that? Back to the blueprint. Without any doubt, they had to go back to the blueprint. How do you think they got fully persuaded? They had to go back again. Abraham had to share it with her. Said, you know, God said, hey, it's a starry night. Come on out here, honey. Quit looking at that empty crib. And for God's sake, quit looking in that mirror. Quit looking at the natural circumstances against that kind of hope. I got to show you God's hope. Come outside here, honey. Look up at these stars. God says our children are going to number like that. God cannot lie. Remember, Abraham, he knew that God could not lie. That's the reason he was willing to offer Isaac. Because he'd already told him, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Isaac hadn't had any children yet. So he knew God would have to raise him from the dead. He knew one thing Abraham knew about God. He could not lie. He says, God says it. I don't care that my body can't produce. I don't care that your body can't produce. God cannot lie. And he says, we're going to have this baby. Bless God, we're going to have this baby. And through that process, you go back to the blueprint. You start looking at it again, running it over again, meditating on it again. I'm talking specifically your blueprint, but what if you stand in for a healing? Man, you got scripture. That's what I had to do for 2 years. Confess that scripture. What's happening? An image is growing on the inside of me. The image of healing in God's word. I don't have to have this heart disease till I die. I don't have to keep taking this medicine that's going to increase arthritis. I can be free of that. Every time I'd quote those scriptures, it's building that image of hope on the inside of me. There's a blueprint for all of us regarding those things. But then there's also see, right now, I've got things in my blueprint that every day that goes by looks more impossible. What are they? I'm not asking you about your blueprint. Now, hush. But things that God has said that to me, every day that goes by looks more impossible than the day before. But I can't get him to change his mind. I can't get him to alter the thing that has come out of his mouth. He keeps talking to me like it's still going to happen. And I think he's after me to become fully persuaded. To be convinced, persuaded, and finally believe that what he said, he is able to perform it. He's not asking me to perform it. See, and I thought about that specifically with our overall blueprint for the prayer center. He's talking about things that none of us can produce anyway. Which of you can open blind eyes? Don't raise your hand, please. Which of us, in the natural I'm talking, see? Which of us can pray for the person that's missing a leg and then just watch the leg grow out? I thank God for prosthetic legs, if I'm saying that right. I thank God for any help that anybody gets. But God has a better plan than an artificial leg. He'll just put on a new one. I think anybody would rather have the new one. That's exactly what he's called us to. And we're going, but that's impossible. And God goes, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm not asking you to do this in your strength. I'm asking you to believe that what I promised, I am able to perform. See, that's what Jesus said. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Remember these lessons in the last few weeks? That personal pronoun, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. And he can do it. Our job is to believe not only that he can, but that he will. And not only that he will when Dave prays, but that he will when you pray. What? I know he can't use me. That is impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, I'm not righteous enough. How did Alan put that? If you want to approach God in your own righteousness, go right ahead. Is Jesus righteous enough? Paul says, I'm not going about to establish my own righteousness, which is of the law, but rather to be found in him and have the righteousness which is of faith. We're called to a revival. God has given us blueprint overall for the prayer center. He's given, I want to say many, if not all, individually, pieces of the blueprint. You may not have it all yet. You may have enough to get started. But you've got a place to, you got a part to play in this. And not just the ones here. I'm talking to anyone around the world that God's called to this vision. He's saying, you need to get that back out. See, I'm almost, now, I'm. This is Gary. I'm almost thinking, we had to get to the place where we're finally convinced that we can't do it and that we can't help him do it. That he's the only one that can do it. Now he's saying, I want you to believe that I will do it. Go back to Romans 4. We'll close there. Y'all getting anything out of this? Is this good stuff or what? I'm going to read this little paragraph the way I wrote it right here. It says, we are told that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But many years passed from the time that God first gave Abraham the vision. Let me say the blueprint. Until it was time for fulfillment at age 99. It is one thing to think you're going to have a child when your body is still virile and strong. But now, at age 99, all natural hope was gone. Abraham had to go back to the source, the God of hope himself, and obtain supernatural hope from the blueprint that God had given him. That's exactly what we need to be doing. And when you review that blueprint, not in the sense of you having to do it. It's got to be like Abraham. What God has promised, he is able to perform it. Christ says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Romans 4. Okay. Verse 18. Who against hope, this is how you do it. Who against hope, doesn't matter what natural hope says, does not matter. Against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Look at me. Did he in the beginning? Yeah, he did. He laughed. Shall a man that's 100 years old? He did. He had to come to the place where he says, I'm not going to consider that. He had to become fully persuaded, convinced. He came to the place where he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. And he chose neither yet to consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. And Sarah had to come to that same place. Because it says, because she laughed. She laughed. But Hebrews 11 says she came to the place where she herself received strength to conceive seed by faith. That's what I say. What can you believe? Well, okay, that's all. We are where we are. We don't have to stay where we are. Abraham didn't stay where he was in his believing. Sarah didn't stay where she was in her believing, laughing at the promise of God. And they both came to the place. It tells you here. They staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. I'd almost like to put, they became fully persuaded. They didn't start off that way. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Glory to God. We have been called to a revival that man cannot produce. We're not called to make a man-made, giant, prosperous church organization. We're not called to that. I'm not saying others aren't. We are called to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. That's it. And we have to come to the place we understand with us it is impossible. He's not calling us to do this. He's calling us to believe that he'll do it. to become fully persuaded that no matter what we've seen, no matter the history, no matter what it's been like, no matter every circumstance that's come your way, we are called to become fully persuaded that what He has promised, He is able to perform it. Giving glory to God, worshiping Him, and calling those things which be not as though they were. That's one reason we have Calling in the Lost on Sunday night. Have a little, at least a 20-minute or 30-minute segment where we can call those things which be not as though they were. About to preach myself happy. Glory to God. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. It's almost like He had to wait until Sarah and Abraham came to the point where they had to go, we can't do it. He says, oh good. Can you believe I can do it? Well, it took them a while to get there. They didn't start off. They laughed. But they went over that blueprint and meditated what He said, and they came to the point. Remember the progression of those three words? The root means convince. Then comes persuasion. Then comes believing. Let us follow that same thing. Be convinced. Then persuaded. Then be fully persuaded and come to that place of believing. And we will have this revival. In Jesus' name. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What can we believe? We can believe everything. We can believe what He has said. Believe that what He has promised, He is able to perform it. I got to quit. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for Your word. I get so excited. I feel like a young man now. Hallelujah. Ready to take off, running around the church. Glory to God. We're going to have the revival. We're going to have it. Do you hear me? What He has promised, He is able to perform it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be going over your blueprint and the part He said to you. Amen.